fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A marvelous Monday to you. It's the Monday after Thanksgiving. So I guess we could say, ladies and gentlemen, the weekdays, they are
ladies
back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
It's not the weekend anymore, but it was a good one, hopefully for you. It was a Thanksgiving weekend, and I am so glad to be back with you. Thankful to be back with you, and you can call me 1-888-914-9149. It's toll-free line for The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Toll-free to talk to me, 888-914-9149. You can also tweet at me. You can follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And there's a show account as well, which is really the Lucas Holt shadow account. And producer Lucas is back today as well. So welcome back, producer Lucas. It's at Cale Clark Show. You know, it's really Lucas if you follow that one. But just so you know.
Maybe. I can neither confirm nor deny it.
Anything that's, you know, kind of, you know, sketchy, I always blame that on Lucas for sure. And you can email the program too. Great place to send me show ideas, stuff you want me to talk about, questions that you would like to have answered, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. Well, as you're calling in now, I got a question for you. Thanksgiving, of course, is obviously a time to show gratitude, and I hope you did. I hope you did this weekend. Hope you had a great time with friends and family. Hope you thanked God for all of your blessings. But I want to flip this around a little bit. But have you ever experienced ingratitude? Maybe during Thanksgiving, towards yourself. And how did you handle it? Okay, let me give you an example of this. What if you spent hours, as many of you did, prepping a huge Thanksgiving meal? I saw somebody on Twitter. They were like, you know, when I get invited to family Thanksgiving dinner, I always like, I hold back on responding in the group text because by that point, everyone has already said, oh, I'm going to bring this, I'm going to bring that, so that all I have to bring is the drinks, so I kind of get out of it. But let's say that you have made a massive Thanksgiving dinner for your family, maybe your friends, and nobody offered to help you clean up afterwards. You're left holding a garbage bag full of all kinds of stuff, a sink full of dirty dishes, a big mess, and just the ingratitude. Or, and this actually did happen. This was a viral incident that happened over the weekend. What if you invited all of your friends to a wonderful Thanksgiving meal, a Friendsgiving? And I had not heard of this, but apparently this is a thing. And producer Lucas tells me this has become really popular in recent years because as people are moving away for work and school, whatever the case may be, very often they can't get together with their families over Thanksgiving. So they have what's called a Friendsgiving celebration. Well, what if you invited all of your friends to a wonderful Thanksgiving/Friendsgiving meal and no one showed up? No one showed up. And this actually did happen to a gal. And this was, I read about it in the New York Post. A clip kind of went viral on TikTok of a woman sitting at a table on her own after nobody showed up to the dinner that she planned. And so her boyfriend actually posted a video. His name was Christian Zamora, who goes by the handle Kidaloy, K-I-D Alloy, Kidaloy, on TikTok, if you want to follow him there. So Christian Zamora, he shared footage of his girlfriend's empty dinner table. And this is a video that, by the way, has been viewed over 15 million times at this point. And his girlfriend, Marianne, had been planning for 2 weeks in advance for her quote-unquote Friendsgiving event. And she decorated her entire basement. She cooked a huge feast, laid out all kinds of silverware and plates, and it looked just amazing. But nobody showed up. And according to Marianne's boyfriend, Christian, they didn't even bother messaging her to let her know that they weren't going to make it. So she planned it like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. And this is kind of a Friendsgiving thing. They couldn't get together with their actual families, so she invited all her friends. And this is what he said in the clip, Christian Zamora. He said, quote, my girlfriend was so excited for her first Friendsgiving, but nobody showed up. And then in the clip, you can actually see her sitting at the table all alone. All the food is ready, all the plates are set, and she is just distraught. And he went on to say, she decorated the whole basement, cooked so much food. I keep trying to cheer her up, but nothing is working. And then the camera panned around the room to show all the food that she'd made and the empty plate. It's so sad. And he said, I'm so sad for her. And later on, so a lot of people responded to the first video and said, you know, oh man, what happened? And so Christian responded with another video where he said that basically the day of the dinner, all of Marianne's friends stopped answering her messages. So, I mean, they were ready for this. Again, they planned it 2 weeks in advance. And the day of, everyone started just ghosting her. So, and that was just so sad. So she actually sat there for 3 hours. She had a group chat going. No one was responding. No one was calling. She just thought, and how sweet. She just thought, oh, everyone must be running late. But sadly, when it hit the 3 hour mark and nobody was there, she was like, yep, that's it. They're not going to come. It's not going to happen. And so this is a good dude, Christian. He said, you know, here's what we're still going to have Friendsgiving. So he called all of his buddies, his friends, and they showed up. They actually came. They filled all the empty seats. So it was a happy. At the end of the day, he said they were more than gracious to come. They all came and they brought stuff. We had our own Friendsgiving in the end, and there was a happy ending. And I don't think Marianne is friends with the non-shower uppers to her Friendsgiving event. And so that was a, I don't know if you, and she actually has more friends now because so many people responded to this video, over 1,000 comments saying, hey, we will be your friend. And they're just congratulating her for having such a sweet boyfriend who invited his friends and made an event out of it in the end. But that went viral. You might've seen that story over the Thanksgiving break. So that's another example of ingratitude. That's another example of this. And I had this question before about the New York Post. I saw this article in the New York Post, and I said, I think the New York Post was founded by Alexander Hamilton. And a big fan of the Hamilton musical, and Lucas did confirm, yes, he did, in fact, found that publication back in the day. You know what? This covers this idea of dealing with ingratitude. Obviously, it covers more than just the holidays, too. Let's say this has happened to me in the past. It's probably happening. Let's say you're working your heart out on a presentation for your boss, something like that, and you've just poured everything into this report. You really want it to be top notch, and you finally present it to your boss, and he's on a phone call. He's talking to somebody else, and he says, "Oh, thanks." And he just grabs the folder from you and just throws it into a pile on his desk or shoves it into a drawer, and he never actually reads the thing. Never even bothers to look at it. Man. The ingratitude. Has this ever happened to you? How do you deal with it? How do you deal with it when people are ungrateful to you and for what you do? And I'm going to give you a spiritual solution for this. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Coming back from Thanksgiving here, 1-888-914-9149. Okay, we have a message from an off-air caller who didn't want to come on the air. And this person is saying, maybe the holidays are not what we always expect and the way we'd idealize them, but that's okay. And are you familiar with Festivus? I am not familiar with Festivus, but doesn't that have something to do with Seinfeld? Am I right about that, Lucas? I don't know. What? Okay, all right. You're not a Seinfeld fan? Shame on you. I think that's a Seinfeld
episode. It was before my time, what can I say?
It was before your time. You're just a young whippersnapper. But anyways, well, here's the thing. Maybe you've experienced something like this. Maybe it was over. We all have experienced ingratitude, let's face it. In our lifetime, maybe you've selected the perfect gift for that special someone you spent hours planning. And when you give it to them, they're just like, oh, thanks. And they just kind of dismiss it. Well, here's the thing. You might be thinking that people should be more grateful to you for what you do and for who you are, and maybe they should be, for what you've done for them. But here's the thing. This is actually exactly how we treat God. Because let's think about this for a second. Every time we sin, we're basically being ungrateful. We're showing ingratitude to God. After all that he's done for us, starting with giving us the gift of life and every other gift that we've been given by him, we sin, and that is very ungrateful. That is very ungrateful. How does that make God feel? So we've got to overcome this ingratitude. And every time we think we can we're the victim of it, and very often we are, we have to flip it around a little bit and say, you know what, have there been times, let's be honest here, have there been times when I've been ungrateful towards God or towards other people as well? And I heard this is a true story. This is a true story I heard about a mom who is the mom of a pretty large family. And there was one time over the holidays where she, you know, everybody's over, all the relatives are over. She cleaned up the kitchen, and believe me, it was spotless. I mean, just sanctified. So she goes upstairs, everything's done, goes to sleep. Her kids are, you know, she's got some teenage kids and their friends are over and all this stuff. So she comes downstairs in the morning and it's a disaster. I mean, dishes everywhere. Nothing is put away. There's crumbs all over the counter. Some food has been left out. It's all spoiled now. So she has a choice at this point. You know, she's really angry and she could lose it on everybody. She could lose it and say, hey, nobody gives a rip about what I do for this family. I'm tired of being taken for granted, blah, 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 blah. And maybe she would have been justified in saying that. Or she could do something else. And this is choice B, which she actually did do. She chose, and you might say, oh, this person's super spiritual. Wow. You know, sancto subito. Let's canonize her now. But, you know, hey, give her some credit here. She decided to choose gratitude. She chose gratitude. So here's what she did. She decided to clean up the mess. And so, but as she was doing it, she picked up, for example, a dirty cup that was left out. And she said, thank you, God, that I have clean water to drink. And that's what this cup reminds me of. Swept up the crumbs. Thank you, Lord, for the food that we had last night that we enjoyed together. So many people are going hungry. And I'm grateful that we have adequate food to eat in this family. You know, somebody left out some, you know, Starbucks coffee cups from a coffee run they made. Lord, thank you that we live in a place where we can literally go out and get a coffee anytime that we want to. And so by the time her family woke up, the place is clean again, just as she had left it when she went to bed the night before. So don't get me wrong. She still had to talk to her kids about what, you know, the fact that they, you know, left a mess, and that was not cool. But because she chose gratitude and cheerfulness, really, she was able to make a correction to her kids without flying off the handle. And I think they probably received it maybe in a better way. Maybe she was able to purify her intentions as she made that correction to them. So that's really kind of the attitude of gratitude that we're looking for here. And so, and this really also helps us with, when we're grateful, when we're truly grateful, this also helps us to be really better in a lot of different areas of the spiritual life. It helps us to be more detached from things. If we're truly thankful for things, we can also be detached from them. We can see them as gifts from God that God, you know, kind of lets us enjoy for a while. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of my wife was big into this for a little while. Marie Kondo. A lot of people are into Marie Kondo. And she was, I think she wrote a book called, I believe she's from Japan. She wrote a book called something like The Life-Giving Magic of Cleaning Up. I may have the title a little bit off there, but, and she kind of became a celebrity. She had a Netflix series about, and she helped people to kind of declutter their lives, to reorganize their lives. And so, and she just loves this stuff. And so, this might sound super cheesy, but I remember my wife, Trish, she just loved this. So she was helping these people, and some of them were kind of on the edge of being hoarders. They were going through their stuff, and do you really need all these clothing items? Do you really need all this stuff that's lying around? So they would kind of she would go through people's stuff with them, and she'd help them to let go of stuff. Because sometimes we want to hang on to things just in case we might need it. And, you know, I have that t-shirt that I wore when I was in grade 8, you know, it's my favorite shirt and just, you know, so many great memories. Really? Do you really need to keep this thing? So she was kind of advocating, and this might sound totally corny, and obviously these are inanimate objects. They don't have feelings or anything like that. But she would say to these people, hey, take that sweater that's sitting in the back of your drawer and say, sweater, thank you for keeping me warm all of those winters, making me look very stylish and cool for the time, in the 1980s. I was styling and profiling, but it's time to let you go, sweater. It's time to let you go. It's time to maybe drop you off at Goodwill, and maybe some modern day millennial will find this, which is now a retro sweater, and they might get to enjoy you, but I've got to let you go. I've really got to let you go here. So that's an example of detachment. Hey, I'm thankful for this. It's a gift, but you know, gotta move on. Gotta move on. And that's obviously a pretty light example, but there are a lot more serious examples too. What do you do when you're in danger? What do you do when you're in ill health, or somebody that you love is really in ill health? Obviously, the past couple of years during the pandemic, a lot of you out there have lost loved ones, and it was an agonizing time for so many of you. And so this is part of, we have to be grateful for these things too. And that's very, very difficult. It's a very difficult spiritual discipline, but I want to hear from you. How have you struggled with ingratitude? Have you struggled with it? Have you overcome it spiritually? Give me a call. Let me know. 1-888-914-9149. I've got to take a quick break right now on the Cale Clark Show, but we will be right back. Today's programming is sponsored by the St. Gregory Recovery Center. More information about their Catholic-centered recovery from substance abuse is available at relevantradio.com/stgregory.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
We are back with a live show after Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And you can call in 888-914-9149. Toll free to talk to me. It's free. 1-888-914-9149. The call is free. The advice, priceless. I don't know if that's true or not. But we're talking about how to kind of defeat ingratitude with thankfulness. And it's hopefully, you know, something that we practiced a little bit over this past weekend, but something we have to continually do. It's something we have to continually do. Here's a great scripture verse for you. This is from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian church. It could be the earliest document ever written as part of the New Testament. But here's what Paul says. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I just love that verse. A lot of people wonder, what's God's will for my life? And obviously, when we talk about that, really kind of two angles to this. There's God's general will for all people. For example, the Ten Commandments. God does not want you to break one of the Ten Commandments, okay? So that should be a no-brainer. That's God's general will. But then there's God's particular will, right? Now, we know that, you know, God calls us to work. We have to sanctify our work. We have to use it as a means to find him in our work. But what particular job does he want me to sanctify? What does he want me to do in particular? Or if I have a choice between one or the other, what shall I do? That's more his particular will. Or, you know, who to marry, for example. But a lot of people ask, what is God's will for me? So this is part of his general will for your life. This is part of the answer for that. We know it's God's will to give thanks in all circumstances, in not just some, not just the ones we like, but in all circumstances. And sometimes they're not easy. Sometimes they're not easy. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. There's so much. I mean, we could probably talk for an hour about this one verse. Rejoice always. You know, and how is that possible when things aren't going right? How can we? Because this is different from happiness. This is joy. This is the joy that Jesus gives us. Happiness depends on what's happening, right? But joy is something deep down. It can never be taken away. Jesus said in John's gospel, in this world, you will have trouble. You will. It's a guarantee. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And so we should always have that in mind, that even the bad things, good can come out of those. Good can come out of those things. So we really can't lose. We really can't lose. Because if great things happen, fantastic. We thank God for them. And if things don't go so well, fantastic. We thank God for for allowing us to at least get a little bit of a splinter of the cross, the true cross. And so that's really important, to rejoice always, to pray continually. Say, well, Paul talks about that elsewhere as well. He's, you know, pray at all times. Pray at all times. Well, how can we do that? How can we do it? Well, it's just being aware of the presence of God at all times. And this is tied into thankfulness too. I'm going to explain that in just a second. But you can't pray continually if you're not praying sometimes. What do I mean about that? Well, you've got to have some regular times of prayer where you get alone with God and you get to know His voice, so that when you're out in the busy street, you can actually hear Him, you know, not in audible words, but you can sense His presence. You're familiar with that voice of the Holy Spirit. So pray continually, pray continually. If you want to have that going on, you've got to pray sometimes, you know, getting alone with God, that mental prayer, that private time with God. It's very, very important. And then this is the part I really want to focus on today. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I remember when my wife found out she was pregnant with her daughter, Michaela. She had really struggled, and I'm sure she, you know, hopefully she'll be okay with me telling this story to you. I'll have to beg for forgiveness later, but she put up with a lot of comments from, you know, well-meaning relatives and friends, you know, why aren't you pregnant, blah 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 blah, because we'd been married for 10 years before we got pregnant. She wanted nothing more than to be a mom. And the day that she found out that she was pregnant, I mean, it was a shocker in a good way. And she called me, and I was playing golf with my dad at the time. I was playing golf with my father, and she called me. I got the news. I was blown away, and I immediately got a hole in one. No, I didn't. I never had a hole in one, but it was pretty awesome. And I waited till the end of the round to tell my dad the good news, because I didn't want to throw off his game. But I was so excited. And what she did when as soon as she found out the news, and she was actually with her brother at the time, and she was kind of, it was the end of the school year, she was cleaning out her office, she was teaching, and her brother, she said to her brother, you got to drive me to this church, because they have a perpetual adoration chapel. So he did. And she said, I wanted to give thanks. And it was a risky pregnancy. We knew that going in. There's some medical conditions going on, and we knew that there was a chance that, you know, we might lose this child. But, and what she did was she went in there, and I admire her so much for this. She just prayed, and she gave thanks. She said, look, I'm tempted to just sort of sit here and say, can you please protect my child and make sure I can carry this pregnancy to term? But she just said, you know what? I'm just so thankful that no matter what happens, I'm a mom for all eternity. And this child will live forever, eternal soul. And I thank you for this gift. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, but I'm thankful for having the chance to experience this. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to experience motherhood. And thanks be to God. Obviously, Mikhail is here, and we're so grateful for her. And gratitude is really, really, really important. And it's important because we don't know what the future is. And so it's one of the things COVID has taught us during our time with our loved ones. You know, life is a vapor. We don't know when the last time will be that we have to take advantage of these opportunities to love God and love people while we can, and tell people that we love them while we have the opportunity. So this is all about not just detachment, but living in the present moment. That's another spiritual truth we can get out of gratitude, because, hey, if we're mulling over the past, we can't do anything, but we can thank God for good things that happened and everything else. We have to leave it to God's mercy. The future, we worry about that too, but that's pointless as well. God commands us not to worry. Don't worry. Jesus talks about this all the time. Read the Sermon on the Mount. Don't worry, because you don't have the grace for that moment yet. Of course you're worried about the future and what's going to happen tomorrow, that sticky situation, whatever may come down the pipe. And you don't even know. You don't have the grace to handle it yet, because you're not there yet. So what you've got is the present moment. And really now is the only time, this moment, that we can offer to God. That's why they call it the present. It's a gift that we know. Not to be too cheesy about it, but really that is what it's all about. It's offering God this present moment and being grateful, being really grateful. That is a huge key to this whole operation. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So glad that you're with me today. So here's how we can get a little bit better at this. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There's a writer by the name of Sam Crabtree. He's a Protestant minister, but you know, a lot of his thoughts, we can take them as Catholics and really do something with it. And he wrote a book called Practicing Thankfulness. Not too many people write books about thankfulness. I've noticed that. And one of the things that he said was that, look, you can't be a thankful person and have this sort of grateful mindset and outlook per chance. It just doesn't happen. You've got to actually be intentional about this, because we're generally self-centered. A lot of times we're really self-centered, self-seeking. And a lot of us have the tendency to think that our life is kind of a movie about us, and everybody else is kind of revolving around us, or like satellites or something. And they're like supporting characters, the supporting cast of the movie that's called our life. And that's not a Catholic mindset. We've got to get out of that. We've got to focus on the others. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was all about others. And this is joy, by the way. If you want to have true joy, how do you spell that? J-O-Y, Jesus first. Got to put God first. And then love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor. That's others, J-O. Jesus first, others second. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Why? Yourself last, okay? So Jesus first, others second, yourself last. I know that's a cheesy kind of homily type, you know, nice package statement there, but it's true. It's true. And so we've got to kind of practice that. And we've got to practice thankfulness as well. You can't win in the supernatural Olympics. We're going to be watching the Olympics in February. Some people will. And we look at the dedication of these athletes and all the training, years of training in many cases, that goes into this, and sacrifice, getting up, you know, before dawn and going for a run, getting in that ice bath. You know, St. Paul used the spiritual life, used athletics as a metaphor for the spiritual life all the time in his writings. He said, I pummel my body like a boxer, you know, and make it my servant, so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. He talked about running the race. I've run the race. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. He used all these metaphors because that dedication, that practice that we have to bring to the spiritual life is super crucial, is super crucial. And you can't win in the supernatural Olympics if you're not training every day. If you're not practicing thankfulness, if you're not practicing gratitude to God, then you're not going to be able to thank him even for the trials in your life. You're just not going to, and it could break you spiritually. So you've got to learn how to do this. Here's what it says in Psalm 119, verse 7. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. So we've got to prepare to give thanks. We've got to prepare. We've got to learn. Our heart needs to learn. We've got to practice that kind of outlook, that attitude of gratitude. And that's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something, just like an athlete, you know, has to not hit the snooze button. They got to get up on time, and they've got to work out. Is it fun? No. Is denying yourself all the, you know, chocolate cake or pumpkin pie or whatever, is that fun? No, it's not. But the payoff is what you're looking for. So it's pain now, results later. And so we've got to have intentionality. We've got to prepare. We've got to want it. And so that's true with anything in the spiritual life. It's also true with developing thanksgiving. And Sam Crabtree talks about, okay, here's what's going to cost you to be thankful. It's going to cost you maybe a stack of cards and envelopes and postage stamps. You're going to actually have to mail somebody a thank you card. And that's going to cost you some time. That's going to cost you, who mails letters anymore? But that's the price of Thanksgiving. You're not going to thank God for all he's done for you if you don't know his mighty deeds, not just in your personal life, but for the history of the world. to know salvation history through the scriptures and study them and know them really well. That's one of the reasons why we have this sister program called The Faith Explained, where you delve into these topics. 12:30 Central here on Relevant Radio. You can check the podcast as well. I had to slip in the ad there. But so we've got to be people of the book, right? This is our book. The Bible is a Catholic book. And so we've got to understand God's works in history. And when we know that, when we know how he's worked in the past, we will understand the way he's working in our life too, in the present. And so this is one of the things that we've got to do to become more thankful and more grace-filled and grateful. That's really important. So this is what we've got to do. And anyway, so Sam Crabtree, he gives 50 ways. This is really cool. 50 ways that we can become more thankful. And these are really cool tips, cool little tips that any of us can use at any time. And here's a kind of an example that he uses. He's like, look, just take these suggestions. Yeah, you can come up with stuff on your own, but sometimes it's good to get ideas. And it shouldn't feel like a burden for you to be more thankful to God. And he says, think about it like you're in love. Okay, if you're in love with somebody, think of a young man who's in love with a young woman. How does he want to show love to her? Well, one of the things he wants to do is give her gifts as examples of his love. So what does he do? He talks to people that know her really, really well. Maybe she has a sister. Maybe she's got, you know, she's a college student. She's got roommates. Talk to her mom. You know, what does she like? What is she into? What does she appreciate? So that he can do these things for her. And she'll be hopefully appreciative of that. And so that's smart, right? People drop hints all the time. You know, what do they want for Christmas? Got to be attentive. So in the same way, we can use a few tips for how we can be more grateful to God. And so anyway, so here's some quick tips from Sam Crabtree. And I think you might enjoy these a little bit. I thought they're pretty good. And they're just really basic, but they can make a big difference. So I don't know, this first one sounds maybe a little corny. In the checkout line, when you're retrieving your credit card, you're just kind of swiping that card, or maybe if you're lucky enough to have a tap and pay, you can pretend, he says, the little screen says, be sure to thank the helpful and intelligent, you know, whoever the server is, whoever the cashier is, and be sure to thank, you know, Jimmy for being so helpful and intelligent. And so he reads that quote unquote out loud in front of the cashier, and usually the person smiles. Some of the other customers in line might smile too. Just a way to kind of give energy to people who do experience a lot of crankiness in their jobs. When you go to Mass, one of the things you can do as you're experiencing Mass, maybe just think of things that you can be thankful for, and maybe go to the musicians, the choir director, and say, hey, thank you so much for your practice, your execution. Thank you to the ushers for welcoming everybody who is coming here and helping them get seated. Thank the priest or the deacon for preparing their homily. And especially if it was a really good one, it really spoke to you, you can say something really specific about it. That's a way to kind of promote this attitude of gratitude. During the holidays, and obviously people are putting up now their Christmas lights, it's Advent, it's not Christmas yet, it's still Advent, right? And by the way, I got to wish every one of you a Happy New Year. Let me be the first to say Happy New Year. It is the new church year now, the first Sunday of Advent. We're in Advent. It's a new liturgical year. So it's a time for a fresh start. It's awesome. So even though it's not quite Christmas yet, of course, people are putting their Christmas lights up. Maybe they call them Advent lights. I don't know. But why not? Listen, if somebody's got a great kind of, you know, I saw the other day, I was out with Michaela. We went sledding. It kind of snowed here, and we went kind of tobogganing and sledding. And there was somebody who just like, man, they did an amazing job decorating their house. It was just so beautiful. And why not thank that person and say, hey, thank you for making our neighborhood more lovely. Thanks for making a difference. You can thank people at work all the way up and down the chain of command. You can thank your immediate supervisor. You can thank the people, if you're at the top of the food chain, you can thank the people that work with you and that you supervise. You can thank your peers. There's so many things that you can do. And Sam Crabtree said that he once had a job in which he was responsible for 250 employees. He was the boss of 250 individuals on the payroll. And he always made sure that he thanked them, each one of them, for what they were doing, because it was really good for morale and it made people feel really valued. And when people are kind of rewarded and thanked for what they do, they tend to keep doing these things. I don't know if you've noticed that. Maybe even, you know, on the home front, you know, if you, hey, thanks for doing the dishes last night. Thanks for cleaning up after yourself. Yeah, well, okay, I'll do it next time. They really like that. So there's so many things that we can do to be thankful. I want your ideas too. What are some things that you can do to promote gratitude to God, to other people? How can we be more thankful and more grateful for the little things? And I think sometimes if we're so focused on our problems, if we just make a list of everything that we're thankful for, and if you didn't do it over Thanksgiving, why not do it today? We can really get we have so much. There's so much good in our lives that we can really be grateful for. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show, 1-888-914-9149. If you want to call in, I'd love to hear from you, and we'll talk to you right after this break. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We're coming back from the Thanksgiving break. We're talking about ways that we can be more grateful to God. And that can really change our perspective and really just fire us up in the spiritual life. And the author, Sam Crabtree, wrote a book called Practicing Thankfulness. And he gave 50 tips for being more thankful. I'm not going to read them all, but I do want to just share a couple more. And if you want to call in, or if you have an off-topic question, you want to talk to me about something else that's on your mind, 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call, 888-914-9149. You can also pop a question on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Twitter has a new CEO, by the way. Jack Dorsey is stepping down as a new CEO of Twitter. Be nice if the new guy would add an edit button to tweets. It's a small thing. People have been asking for it for years. How hard can it be? Why can't we have this? Why can't we have nice things? Anyways, you can follow me there on Twitter. Well, anyways, let's give thanks for Twitter. You know what I mean? It's got some problems, but it's kind of cool. I learn a lot from it. And if you use it properly, you can learn a lot of stuff. But here's what Sam Crabtree says. Here's a few more things, how we can be more thankful. He says, here's another tip. Thank God for something specific that you've never thanked him for before. And he tries to make this a regular practice. So a subcellular component, a body part that you've never thanked God for, like your pinky toe or something. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Packers, broke his pinky toe. And everyone's, I never realized how important a pinky toe was. It hurts, man. It's broken. You notice it. You could talk about anything. It's something you've never thanked God for before. Why not start a new practice? When you're saying grace, here's another one, before a meal, he says, open your eyes, and this would have been great on Thanksgiving, open your eyes, look at all the food items, and thank God for them specifically by name. Thank God for the potatoes with skins, the asparagus tips, the tomatoes in the French dressing. I don't recommend thanking for every item, because people are hungry, right? So, but anyways, that's kind of, you can maybe pick two or three things. Ask God to make you increasingly grateful right now. Like literally right now, this second, before I move on to the next tip. Why not say, God, make me more grateful? Why not just do it? Why not do it? Write out a prayer that is only thanksgiving and praise. No requests. Have you ever done that? Have you ever actually done that? Very often people, obviously the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, is not only the greatest prayer that's ever been created because it was created by the greatest prayer, Jesus himself. But very often we see that acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, and that's kind of all the components of the Lord's Prayer. But we can kind of use that as a model prayer for anything. And if you read the Catechism on the Our Father, it kind of presents it as a model prayer. So the A stands for adoration. The C stands for confession, you know, forgive us our trespasses, right? The T is thanksgiving. And the S is supplication. That's when we actually ask for things that we need, and when God wants us to ask for things that we need in prayer. But we also ought not to look at God as a cosmic vending machine either, right? Some people's prayers are nothing but supplication, right? Only asking for stuff. So let's focus on some of the other stuff. Praise and thanksgiving. And I once asked my spiritual director, okay, the adoration part, how do you adore God in prayer? Do you just... Well, you can talk about God's wonderful qualities, and he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's all merciful, his greatest attribute is his mercy, his divine mercy, all that sort of stuff. But I was told really by my director, you can actually adore God by giving thanks. So the A and the T are really almost the same thing. So when you thank God for things, you're really adoring God. It's a great way to adore him is by thanking him for things. So write out a prayer that's only thanksgiving and praise. That's kind of cool. And so here's I'll just give you one more. There's so many things that we can say. Remember the gospel story of the 10 lepers? Jesus heals these 10 lepers. Only one of them comes back to thank him. Thank God for including that in the Bible. And here's an idea. Now, if you want to go this route, it could be kind of cool. If you're kind of creative, if you're a creative person, like Peter Atkinson from the Merry Beggars here at Relevant Radio, he's pretty creative. He's an actor. You could write a short story told through the eyes of the one grateful leper. Or you could write one through the eyes of one of the ungrateful lepers. You know, why didn't I come back and give thanks? Anyway, so if you're into that, you could do that. You could totally do that. And I'll just give you one more. There's so many things that we could say. Name the most painful experience in your life. The pain might have been physical. It might have been emotional. And then here's a few passages that you can look at in the Bible. If you think about the most painful thing you've ever gone through, then read the letter of James. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." You could also read Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, which says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." One more, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not only to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So there is much more than a silver lining here. God is producing some really, really good fruits, even through suffering, even through pain. And we have to also be thankful for all the sufferings that Jesus endured for us. It's incredible. So there's just really no end to this. And I think it's a really good spiritual practice. Let's go to the phones right now. We're going to Ilona in Miami. Hi, Ilona.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, the same here. My comment, I mean, since you mentioned, like, at first, like, a really painful situation, like, when my boy was born, she weighed only 1 pound. And I mean, wow. It was really hard, but still, I would say, like, thank you, Lord, because he is alive. I could see the miracle of life, him growing in the NICU through the, it was really painful, but it was beautiful seeing him growing, being thankful, with people that serve us, especially when we go to the malls, the people who clean the bathrooms, and thank you, and look at them in the face, and they have tags on you know, say, oh hi, Kathleen or whatever, thank you for your service, I really appreciate it, and you could see the reaction of the people, like, oh, thank you, yes, that's. Sometimes we don't really appreciate those things and don't say thank you to that people.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Like people who do that, I mean, it's very important work, right? People who are cleaning washrooms, people who are sanitation workers, like whoever thanks them, people often walk past them and like they don't exist. And just to look that person in the eye and say, thank you very much for what you're doing. Thank you so much. I mean, nobody ever says that. I think that can really, really change somebody's life, I think, in some ways. Just that kind word. That's incredible. Yeah, I think that those are great, great suggestions. So thank you, Ilona. Thank you very much for calling. I really appreciate that. Some great ideas there. There's Ilona calling in Miami. Thanks for listening. Jean is calling from Buxton. Hi, Jean. Welcome back.
Hi, Cal.
Hello. It's good to hear your voice again.
No, great show on being grateful. It's huge. And I was always, I was brought up in a large family, so we always gave thanks and never took anything for granted, or as little as possible. But it was always, just always there. And then raising a family and in my work and, and about just in the community was never a hard piece. It just always comes naturally. And then in my home, as I raised children and got them to pass that on some, but it really was harder. And then they grew up and went away, and I was struck with a big medical piece. And I just felt the world on my shoulders. And I started, a while into, when I picked up Relevant Radio, the importance of prayer came back. And I have to say, I was very lax, and I didn't realize how much. In my work, I saw it in my patients, who had, had survived.
Sorry, Jean. Jean, I'm so sorry. We've lost the connection. There's a technical issue. I really apologize for that. But thank you so much for calling and for listening. And thank all of you who listened today to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Thanks for joining me. I'll be back again tomorrow. If you missed an episode, you can always consult the archives. You can get the show wherever you get your podcasts or from relevantradio.com. and the Relevant Radio app, and you can share it with a friend. It's a great way for people to find out about the Cale Clark Show, the Faith Explained program, and all the great shows that we have on Relevant Radio. Lucas Holt produced today. Patrick Alog took your phone calls. See you tomorrow. God bless. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.